Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Just like the river, I've been running ever since. He said it's been a long time coming, but I know my change is gonna come.
welcome to another episode of Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle and Shalonda. And I want to thank all my guests for tuning in this evening, the ones from north to south, east to west, and all my global listeners. I thank you for tuning in, as well as I would like to just say this is going to be a special episode, and we are talking about illiteracy because it's something that people don't really want to talk about, but we need to talk about it because we need to stop it. We need to get people more educated because if you realize, you know, I've been firsthand contact with someone who was illiterate, and this friend of mine's back in the day, she took and went to the store, and she got this big can of Crisco because she thought that she was going to be fixing chicken because of the picture that was on the can. And after she opened it, I laughed because I wasn't sensitive enough to realize she spent, like, her last pennies on something that was useless to her. But, you know, and I realized at that time that everybody don't go through the changes, go to school and just get the basics, you know, and it's very important to be educated because there's no sense people growing up and they have someone else controlling their life because they can't read what's going on around them. And it's very important to be educated and to learn about illiteracy. So I'm going to start right now by just saying hello to my guests. And I'm going to start by saying, hello, Colleen.
Hello.
How you doing, darling?
I'm fine. I'm happy to be with you this evening.
Praise God. Praise God. How you doing, Archie?
Fine, thank you. I'm also happy to be with you.
Well, thank you very much. I want to introduce my co-host, Shalonda. And the way we do it before we get started, I'm first going to give all honor to God who sustains me and allow me to be here. But we have started giving out cutie patooties of the week. So I'm going to say hello to my co-host, Shalonda, and then we come right back to you, Colleen, and you're going to have to tell me somebody who was your pick for cutie patootie of the week. It could be an actor. It could be someone personal. It could be a relative. It could be a neighbor, but, you know, just give them a shout-out. But I'm going to say hello first to Shalonda. How you doing, darling? Shalonda, is your phone on mute, darling?
I thought it was I'm doing great. And Terry, how are you this evening?
Oh, I'm hanging in there, baby. I'm hanging in there. Well, our guest is first, so we're going to let Colleen and Archie get their cutie patootie, then you, Shalonda, and then it'll be my turn. Okay, Colleen, who's your pick for cutie patootie the other week, darling?
I'm not sure I understood your question, Terry.
Okay, it's like somebody that you admire or you just think they are hottie or, you know, it could be an actor or, you know, actress, somebody who's doing something in the world and you're impressed by it. But somebody you're supposed to say, yeah, that's my cutie patootie.
Oh, okay. You know, I guess I would have to speak generally that I've been impressed that so many movie stars have taken up causes and put their own money to it rather than being, you know, greedy to get or make more money. And I'm really impressed by that generosity.
Yes, 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 I am too. That's a wonderful selection. Okay, Archie, who is your cutie patootie of the week, darling?
I would say my granddaughter, she got her report card, and she got all A's, and being a person who struggled all my life to learn to read, I'm very proud of her.
Praise God. That's wonderful. Kudos to your granddaughter. All right, Shalonda, who's your cutie patootie of the week, darling?
Of course, it has to be Amari Hardwick, who is back in action on Power.
Woo woo! I ain't mad at you, baby. And my cutie patootie of the week this week for me is Dr. Bishop Apostle Larry Carter out of Sumter, South Carolina, who was giving up the word and casting down strongholds and everything and bringing souls to Christ. So I appreciate that, but right now, we're going to get right back to our show, and we're going to start with Archie because this is really his story. Archie, how long was it that you couldn't read? How long before you started taking a stance on changing that outcome?
Well, I was 54 years old when I went back for reading help, and before that, I was just, you might say, taking my way through life or skirting around.
Were you married?
Yes, I was.
So
and,
I presume, I'm not sure. So does that mean that pretty much your wife took care of all the business affairs because she could read and she just pretty much just explained some things to you, but you never had no formal training in trying to get the, you know, the steps down on how to learn how to read?
Well, you know, I was pretty good at getting by in life, but my wife took care of all the bills and pretty much took care of the reading things we had to do. But she was a very good wife, and she encouraged me so much in life that I can't be more proud of that I had such a good wife.
Praise God. So is she still with you?
No, she just went to see the Lord and be with the Lord. So about 9 years ago. So it's been a struggle without her, but what she gave me in life, it's certainly helped me in, to keep going.
Amen. And I got one more question before I turn this over to my co-host. After your wife passed away, was that the beginning of you actively learning how to read because you didn't want it to be wasted in vain what teaching your wife had shared with you while she was living?
Well, my wife, she encouraged me to go to a reading program. In fact, she was when I read an article about a man who had dyslexia, and we had never heard of dyslexia, and so she got some books and she read about dyslexia, and she said it sounded like me, and so we went and found a place to be tested, and I was found to be very dyslexic and with above average intelligence.
Wow, that's a good point right there, because people who are dyslexic, they see their letters and things transposed, not like we see it. So since they're not seeing it correctly, that's a good reason why they can't comprehend what everyone else is reading. But that's a real good point. But I'm going to stop and let my co-host say something. But anybody out there who's listening, you need to call in at 347-945-6003 if you want to share your story or ask a question. But you got to hit the one key. Otherwise, your phone is muted out, and I don't know that you have a question. So, Shalonda, darling, this is your opportunity to ask your question.
Yes. Before you met your wife, your educational background, were you able to go through school, or did you leave school early because of your inability to read?
No, I graduated from high school, and I didn't get very good grades. I skirted around the edges. I was involved in athletics, and I guess that helped me stay eligible. Mm-hmm. And I did go to 2 years of college, and I was on a football scholarship, and I got to the point where I just couldn't go any further and couldn't stay eligible, so I went out in the world and got a job and left school.
I'm shocked that you got that far all the way through college and couldn't read. I'm just shocked at that. You know, I know nowadays they're saying when kids reach a certain age, whether they're good or not in school, they pass them to the next grade because they say no child should be left behind because they don't want them, I guess, being old in a class full of younger people. But I didn't realize they had that going on back there, too. How is it possible that you was able to progress to college if your reading was inhibited?
Well, one thing I did have, and it was good, that I had a very good memory, and like a lot of people would take notes, I just took notes in my head, and I knew what was going on. But, it hampered me because I couldn't read real well. I actually was a sight reader. I didn't sound out words very well, and so so that hurt my reading. But I try to take subjects that had the least amount of reading and help me get by. And I had other people, like girlfriends, that helped me do things, and that also helped me get by. So I got out of high school by the skin of my teeth, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, people don't realize that this is 2015, and it's astronomical how many people today still cannot read. A lot of the older people can't read, but quasi kept. A lot of young kids can't read either because for some reason, I don't know whether they latchkey or don't have the opportunity at home to have someone help them and stay focused with them to teach them the dynamics of how to read. But this is a problem that seems to be growing instead of being lesser. But I'm just amazed. But I'm going to ask you, Colleen, how did you come into this connection with Archie? Was it exclusively to help him write a book, or was there some issues with someone that you knew also who couldn't read?
Well, I'm an educator, and
praise God.
When I retired from being an educator and a counselor, I was in Arizona for the winter, and Archie is in there, Arizona for the winter, and we walked home together from a yoga class, and we got to know each other, and he found out that I was writing a column for a newspaper, and after a couple of years of knowing each other, he asked me if I would write his book. And we kind of feel like we were the perfect match to do this because of my being an educator and having worked with learning disabilities and dyslexia. I understood where the educational part of what Archie had been through. And so, you know, he couldn't have done this book if we hadn't done it together. He had the story. He just couldn't put it into a book. Because even though he's dyslexic and has had tutoring to improve, he wouldn't be able to compile it without someone who knew how to write better. So that was our partnership, and that was about 3 years ago.
Wow, that's wonderful. You know, I have a question. How do people, without going to see an educator, how would people be able to tell whether one of their offsprings or siblings or someone they come in contact with, you know, how would they be able to know that they was dyslexic or just having a difficult time just learning how to read? Is there any clues that a normal person could look out for?
There are, and I think, Archie, you should start this answer.
Well, children, you know they can't read, and I guess I probably figured that out when I was in first grade. I was placed in the back of the room. First of all, I started off in the A group, and I couldn't keep up, and I was moved back and to the medium group, and then finally I was moved third to the back of the room all by myself, and I sat there day after day looking out the window because nobody ever called on me anymore. And one day I got thinking, you know, if you can't read, you can't be a doctor, you can't be a lawyer, or a school teacher. And I thought to myself, I hate school. I hate school. And I was passed in very great grade.
I'm sorry, that's not funny, but I guess I wouldn't eat it too.
Yeah. Right.
But you just kind of hate the world, and it's a sad time in your life, I guess I don't know exactly where I'm going to go from here with this, but
one of the things that Archie and I have talked about, because he's done a lot of research in this area after he got involved in literacy as an advocate, he began to understand that there's a lot of research into dyslexia, learning disabilities, that the average person doesn't know. And I don't remember the statistics, but maybe you do, Archie, that a high percentage of people who have difficulty with reading are left-handed. And
really?
Yes. And higher percentage of left-handers have learning problems than right-handers. And
I'm amazed that you said that left-handed people have more learning disabilities, because I'm right-handed, but I've always been told and thought that left-handed people were more brighter and smarter. You know, so this is unusual to hear you.
Yeah, but see, the whole thing behind dyslexia and learning disabilities is that people who have that disability are very bright and are usually very creative, but it's because they don't process information well that they don't test well in terms of understanding how to read.
That's new to me because I'm left-handed.
Yeah,
I test extremely well.
Yeah,
I'm one of those people that can. You can just pop a test on me and I'm gonna pass it. I'm just one of those people. I don't have to study or nothing. And I've always been that way in math and reading and writing. Only thing I don't like is the only thing I can't grasp is history. But other than that, I've always done a good job in school. That's something new to me.
Me too.
Even my uncle, who was left-handed. Yeah, because my uncle Jay was left-handed. I'd take right after him.
You don't have to be left-handed to be dyslexic or have a learning disability. But the research has shown that there is a higher incidence among left-handed people. And so what parents can look for is if children are having difficulty blending words, like Archie was talking about. They can't blend the sounds to make the word. If they can't read, they can maybe read something, but then they don't know what they read. They don't understand it. There's quite a few symptoms or behaviors that might present. And I would say for some children, they become disruptive and difficult because they're angry, they're scared. So you see some of that as well.
Well, I got a grandson who is a left-handed, and what I get from him is that he's a little know-it-all. I got to tell him be quiet because he just talk. I'm saying he's going to be a good daddy because he's running your mouth now. But I am just amazed. But, Colleen, you hold that thought because we had to take a little small break, and we're going to be back in two. So y'all bring and get y'all some lemonade, some tea, or some water to wet your whistle, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Eventually, the truth will come out of the darkness for everyone to see.
Hello? Hey, this is Mike.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing? Oh, yeah, everything's good. Everything's good. Just been really good. Sorry I haven't been. Yeah. Oh, I forgot, but I will be there next week. Right now. There are times in your life when your faith will be challenged.
Hey man, I want to share something with you. I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He's been really wonderful to me. Don't you agree?
I feel like I'm my own God. For things that's been happening to me, I feel like I've been making those things happen.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me you don't believe in God?
Well, I haven't seen him.
The truth can come in shocking form.
Nobody up in my house when I'm at work all day, going day.
No! No! Who is this? Why is he in my house?
He
What is he in this house? What do you mean you didn't know?
When the secret is no longer hidden, you have now been exposed. Written by authoress Terry E. Lyle. Check out her website and on Blog Talk Radio every Friday at 7:30 p.m.
Shalanda, and our special guests tonight, Archie and Colleen, will be discussing literacy. And it's amazing how many people today, 2015, still cannot read and too ashamed to let someone know that they can't read. And it's just awful because you need to know how. Well, it's amazing to me. A lot of people who don't know how to read, they sure can count money. Man, they don't have no problem counting money, so I ain't understanding that. You can count their money, but you can't read. But let them talk about miss a dollar, man, they'll knock you out. you know, Colleen, you made a good point, a reference between dyslexic and people who couldn't read. Now, I never put that together, but that makes sense because a lot of times you'll find your child or some child in school and they're so frustrated because they can't keep their grades up and people just assume that they're not paying attention or they can't read. And it's just a simple thing like being dyslexic. Is there any way that a normal person without going to an educator such as yourself can just tell that the child's problem is this opposed to that?
Well, to truly determine if a child is dyslexic, they have to be tested. And that can be done in a school and it can be done in a medical setting where they have an educational testing program. But in order for a parent to know and to then help that child get, you know, improve, they actually have to know what their problems are, what the specific learning problems are, because there's a lot of them. There's a lot of different learning problems relative to learning disabled children or dyslexia.
So hypothetically, if I was to come to an educator and I say my child is tested and is dyslexic, okay, how does that teacher in that classroom alter the teaching method for the one when you got the many in the class? Is there anything different that she does so that child can also be on the same level as the other students?
Well, there's federal laws that require every school, every state to provide services for children with learning disabilities, and dyslexia is in that group. And then every state interprets those laws and provides programs relative to that. And different states call it different things, but once a child has been tested and determined that they were dyslexic or learning disabled, they would have a plan that was written up specifically for them, and it's called an educational plan. Sometimes they mm-hmm. call them individual educational plans. And there may be support teachers who support the child with, you know, helping them with their classes or tutoring. They may actually work with them in the classroom. And then, of course, the classroom teacher has a copy of that information so that they know what the special needs are that they need to be aware of. So assignments might be modified, you know, tests might be read to them. They may, instead of having to read a book, they might have it on tape where they can listen to it.
Well, you know, Colleen, I'm just going to say this. You know, when I came through school, we was doing long division and all this other kind of stuff. Now, my grandkids, when they come home from school and they be saying, Grandma, help me with the homework, I said, not me, because I am so confused the way stuff is today. I don't know. I can't figure it out. You know, and then I sit there one time, I helped them, and I know I was right, and they said it was wrong, and I said, okay, I'm done, because, you know, they done changed them around. I can't do it.
Right. Different methods.
Yeah, well, Shalana, go ahead and ask your question, baby.
Yes, RT. I had a question for RT. After 54 years, you could have easily, you know, still maneuvered your way through life. What made you want to learn at such an older age?
Well, when I was tested and found to be dyslexic, my wife read in the newspaper about a reading program, and my daughter, who was a senior in high school at the time, and they encouraged me, and I thought, well, why not? And also, at the same time, the factory I was working in was closing up, and I needed a job, and I had to be able to fill out an application. So I went to back to the community college there in my area, which had an adult reading program, and that was a hard thing to do because when it came time to do it, I had thoughts of this was going to be deja vu again, struggling to read, and I'm going to put myself in a lot of misery, and my wife and daughter pretty much had to shove me out the door in the car and to get me going, and when I got to the community college, I spotted the building that I was supposed to go meet at, and I drove right by. I couldn't make myself stop. And
oh wow!
And I said, I think I'm going to go home because I don't need any help. And then a little voice inside me said, "Oh yes, you do. You need to go back." So I drove by again, and I couldn't make myself stop the second time. And I said to myself, "Well, it wasn't my fault. It was the teacher's fault, and then the materials they lose." And then I got to a corner where I could either leave the campus or go back by that building again. And then the voice said to me, if you don't go by again now, you never will. And so I drove, and I got out of the car, and I got to the door, and I opened it up, and I thought, I wonder if they can help me. And after I had my first lesson, I knew I wanted things to be better for people. Like me.
So Marty, you said that when you went past, you had a voice or something told you if you don't go, you're never going to do it. Well, you got a different voice than I have, because I'm sure if it had been me, somebody, that voice probably said, "Yeah, big dummy, get in the building and learn something," My voice wouldn't have been all nice. It would have been like, making me angry. But I'm just saying, I'm glad you went back.
But then I stayed in the program for about 2.5 years, and I worked with a real wonderful lady. She was I just knew she had the best interest for me. And towards the end of the 2 years, she asked me if I would speak at a grade school and talk to some LD kids, and I'd never given a talk before. How do you say no to someone who's given 2.5 years of their life for free, so you can have a better life? So I went there, and I talked to those kids. They were all LD students. There was about 15 of them there, and they were just quiet as a mouse. They just didn't say anything, and I looked at them, and I knew that I'd given them the gift of hope and life, and that one talk took me to other places and other schools, and I spoke to a lot of schools, grade schools, high schools, and colleges, and then the service clubs and churches and into prisons, and I even got to go to invited to go to Russia with a delegation.
Get out. Wonderful. So you mean tell me, Archie, somebody just kept saying, could you come speak here, after that one time that you spoke to the school?
Right. That was my starting point, and it was word of mouth and just kept going.
Wow. That's something. Cool. I'm so impressed with that. Colleen, let me ask you a question. What year was it that you and Archie got together and collaborated on this book, and the title of that book is called what?
Last Reader Standing is the name of the book.
Okay.
And we probably started talking about it, what do you think, Archie, about 4 years ago, 5 years ago?
Yeah, at least four.
Yeah. And he told me he wanted me to write his book, and I wasn't too sure about it. I was hesitant because I didn't know if I knew how to write somebody else's story. And
right.
So he wanted to write this book because Archie's done amazing things for literacy after he learned what was wrong with him and got tutoring. And he wanted his story told so that he could give hope to other people and also to help people understand how important literacy is. And so that's the main purpose of the book, is to encourage people and support literacy.
Shalonda, darling, you got a question?
Yes. I know that you have your own personal struggle, and it's sometimes hard for people to come out into the public limelight with their struggles. What made you found value the Voice of Adult Literacy United for Education? What made you want to do that?
Well, I always thought back to when I was a little boy in the first grade, and I sat in that back room, and I didn't want people to give up hope or quit, and there was something burning inside me that I just wanted a better life for those people, and so that's what I do now. I just try to help people with reading problems or encourage them in any way I can, and I guess I will. That's my mission in life.
Well, bless your heart. Archie, let me ask you a question about the book. In the book, are there some steps that a person could read it to help them learn better how to read or connect the dots, as you would say? Or is it just about your life and your struggle?
It's more or less about my life and struggle. There's, as far as learning to read better, I mean, you need to be working with a professional, if you don't have hope in life, you know, it's hard to know what direction you're going, or you can, it's hard to follow your dreams. So that's what the book I tried to do in there is find hope again and start all over again.
At one point, Archie told me that when he finally stopped hiding his secret and started telling people that he couldn't read, it was freeing to him. It gave him the opportunity to explore life in a way that he had never done before. And like you were saying earlier, many people who can't read are hiding it because they're embarrassed or afraid.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And if they can find a way to come out and talk about it or get some help with it, then they can find their way to a better life.
Exactly. You know, I'm so glad that you did, and I'm so glad that you're doing your thing, helping others, you know, because a lot of times people, when they realize that someone else is going through the same thing, then they can free their own baggage, you know, and just focus and do what they need to do, you know, and I'm so impressed by that. I'm going to take a little small break, but I want to know, first of all, do you have one of your books handy?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I'm going to take a little break. I want you to find a little section out of that book that I want you to read that will encourage some of our listeners that are listening either by computer, iPad, or iPod, or whatever, or by phone, you know. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to actually read that. But I want to let everyone know that coming up to September the 4th through the 6th in Maysville, South Carolina, the Wellspring and Living Waters Prophetic Prayer Conference will begin. They have hotel accommodations at the Quality Inn, and that's going to be at 2390 Broad Street in Sumter. And the phone number for that is 803-469-9001. And those rooms are going to only be $82 plus tax for one king or two doubles. Free breakfast. And if you need to get a hold of someone in reference to that conference, you need to reach Dr. Larry Carter, Chief Apostle, at 803-464-2406. I advise y'all to be there because they're going to be bringing down some strongholds, and they're going to be ministering to the things in your life that need to be administered to. So you stay with us, and we'll be back in 2 and 2.
Thank you.
guess we're having a little issues here. Okay, I guess we're having a little issues here. We're having a storm right here. And, well, I'll just go to something else and be right back. If you lose me, Londa, you take over the switchboard, darling. Shalonda, real quick, play some. It's not working on my side over here.
Okay.
Yeah. and know the art of love.
My lady wears the best, or she wears nothing at all. And that's why authoress Terry E. Lyle has designed her own personal fragrance collection. She has 10 to choose from. They are Unmasked, Insane, Confessions, Peeling Back the Mask, Forgiveness, Say It Ain't So, Speechless, Exposed, In the Bag, and Wow. They all have a fruity and hint of light flower smell. Some descriptions could be a soft, tantalizing, fresh aroma, tropical and exotic sweet smell of light flowers and melon scent. The smell of romance is in the air. A 3.4-ounce bottle of perfume is $60. An 8-ounce bottle of lotion is $20. They all smell so good to me. But you don't have to take my word for it. Go to her personal website at www.terrylyle.com. That's www.terrylyle.com. Or you can reach her direct. The number 443-956-8753. That's 443-956-8753. And make sure that you specify which bottle of perfume or lotion you wish to purchase. Terry accepts PayPal and all other major credit cards. All products have a money-back guarantee on all fully unused containers. Make your choice today. And oh, don't forget, when the mood is right and you're relaxed, then listen to Unmasked with Terry E. Lyle every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Well, if you excuse me, I like to get back to making it do what it do, baby. Peace.
Go ahead, Darla.
I was just going to say welcome back to the show. I didn't know if you were back yet.
We're both welcoming them back. But I'll tell you on my end, girlfriend, look, the sky is trying to open up. It is thundering and lightning and cracking and everything, and I'm having some electrical issues because of the storm. So if I get knocked off, Shalana, just handle it. But I just want to thank everybody for tuning back in with us on the show about illiteracy, because it's something that we really, really, really need to address, because if you don't know how to read, somebody can control your life in a way, because you wouldn't know. It's just like, you know, I'm just going to take everything from you and tell you a lie, and you want to believe it because you can't read it. You know, so that is very important to deal with that issue. But also, Colleen, if you're ready, or Eva Archie, whoever it may be who want to read something from your book, so give us an idea about that book and tell us how much that book costs.
The book is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. It's, you know, all the electronic ways of reading it, as well as paper copy. And it's even available in audio, so you can listen to it if you're not able to read. So it's called Last Reader Standing, and it's $16. And I think the electronic, like Kindle downloads and all, are less expensive.
So let me ask you a question before you start. You said it's an audio, so that was an option that was offered to you from the publishing company that you use, or was something special that you did get it audio?
No, our publisher put all those links together with all of the different media.
Well, you got my email address. I need the information at the close of the day. Send that to me. I would sure appreciate it.
Okay.
Wonderful. Okay, you can read a little something, something, and then Shalana is going to be taking it from this point on, because I fear that I'm going to lose reception real quick.
Okay. All right. Well, Archie was just telling you about when he went into that classroom for the first time. And so I'm going to read a little piece from there and then conclude it with something he said about it at the end. So, okay, these are Archie's words. I started off with a lot of hopes and dreams for the future. I wanted to be somebody special. When I realized I couldn't read like the rest of the kids, I lost my dreams. I didn't really start living again until I began being open about my reading problem. It's important for you to be open about your disability so you won't have the monkey on your back telling you to try and hide your problem and be somebody you're not. I encourage others who struggle to read to join the mainstream of life. By doing this, your life will improve. Think of all your connections and the people in your life as being inside a circle. Now imagine expanding that circle by finding more people like yourself with reading challenges and opening yourself to new opportunities. Your circle will widen just as mine did when I stopped pushing people away. I found out I wasn't alone when I let society know I was there. Until recently, people with reading problems haven't really had a voice. I've tried to represent that voice by advocating for adult literacy. I don't do this for just myself. I do it so everyone who struggles with reading can have a chance to live their lives more fully. I want those of you who are reading challenged to not ask for more than what you deserve, but not settle for less than what you should have.
I like that. I really like that, Archie. That's good. That's real good. Well, let me ask you a question. When she was reading, Colleen, she said something about pushing people away. Did you find that you had like a chip on your shoulder because you couldn't read as well as other people? And sometimes when people have a problem, they try to make someone else, the pit of their dismay and try to make it seem like it's someone else's fault because they had a problem. How was you acting when you was, out there and couldn't, hold your own as far as reading go?
No, you said Colleen, but you meant me?
Yes, sir.
Say it again?
She said, you said Colleen, but you meant me. How was I acting?
Colleen was reading, but about your life. Yeah.
Well,
I
probably wore many hats. Sometimes I was angry, sometimes I was really quiet and withdrawn and just didn't participate or I was withdrawn and I tried to be quiet, not to stir anybody up. But I don't have the book.
Let me ask you this, Archie. I'm trying to be funny now. Did you like charades?
Oh,
man, you got to make this funny because, this is a serious subject, but, sometimes you just got to sometimes laugh at yourself so you can get through it.
But I want to, there's the last paragraph. I don't have the book in front of me, but I just going to say, if I was walking down the beach and I found a bottle, took the cork out of it, and a genie popped out. And granted me one wish. I would never wish that I was not dyslexic again. Dyslexics operate in a different dimension than most people do. And most people operate in a two dimension. And it's either black or white or yes or no. And dyslexics, we develop another dimension. And it's sometimes called the third dimension, and we survive by the things that we develop in our life. And I would take that one wish and go back to when I was in first grade, way back for a short period of time, find that little boy that sat in the back room and stared out the window, and I'd put my arm around him and put a put a smile on his face.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, because I know you can, you know, you can relate to what they're going through. I'm sure your heart had to go out to them. Okay, well, my co-host Shalonda, she has a comment.
Yes, I wanted to ask Colleen, since you're the one that assisted with helping write his story. How long did it take you to actually write the story and feel comfortable with what you wrote?
It probably took us 2 years.
Wow.
And because we
That's a long time.
It is a long time. But, of course, you know, I had to learn Archie's story, and then we had to figure out how to put it together. And then we needed to make it meaningful for whoever was going to read it. And Archie is a very humble man, and so it was hard for me to get some of those wonderful things that he has done out of him so that we could really put the whole story together. He tends to minimize all the good things he's done. So it was a process. It took a long time. Plus, you know, writing somebody else's story, then you have to proof it and edit it and do all that. So I would say 2 years.
And I had a question for Archie, too. Since you did open up the literacy program, did you come across, like, a special success story that maybe touched you, that made you feel like you really did make a difference in someone's life?
Well, after I got involved and I was doing some speaking around at different schools and stuff, I got a call from the Department of Education in Iowa, and they asked me if I would help them put together a conference for people who have been through literacy programs. And, I was excited about that. Boy, this is a step forward. And so in Iowa, there's a 15 community colleges, and every community college has an adult reading program. So every program sent 3 or 4 students to this conference. And when I first got to the conference, they were one of the people in the State Department introduced herself and talked and told us what they wanted us to do. So it came a time they wanted all the students to introduce themselves and where they're from. Well, these people probably never ever been to a conference before in their life, and you could just see the pain in their face when they had to tell who they were and where they were from, and they didn't want to really be there really. And then we broke off in small groups, and I was the moderator of one of the groups, and we were talking about workplace literacy. And all of a sudden, these students realized that they weren't alone, and that we were all alike. And it was just all of a sudden they started talking, and you couldn't get them to shut up. They just wanted to share the story, and they just kept talking and talking. And it was one of the most beautiful things I ever saw. And then when the conference was over, they said, "Well, are we going to have another one?" So I asked the Department of Education. They said, "No, that was a one-time deal." And so I just kept bugging them and bugging them. And they, "Okay, we'll have another one. But you people are going to have to do some presenting and things." And so we did. And we put on 24 consecutive state conferences. And we worked on the other students went to other schools and started telling their stories, and they went to the churches and service clubs. And we went into the different schools, and we read stories to some of the students, the younger kids. In the year 2000, when they had the voting problem in Florida, we went to the Secretary of State, who's in charge of voting in Iowa, and we told them that asked him if he'd come to our conference and talk, and he came and talked about voting, and then he brought all the different types of ballots in the state of Iowa. And we broke off in little groups of seven or so, and we took some different ballots, and we voted on the ones that were, we could understand it was the best ones, and we voted on the ones that were not so understandable, and we made suggestions. Did we change voting in Iowa that much? No, but we helped understand it, and we did a few things, and so it made it better. And so the students really thought that was great, and they wanted to, they said that they had trouble when they go to the doctor's office. So we put on a health literacy conference, and we didn't know any medical professionals, but we decided, well, we'll just self-teach each other. And somehow, by word of grapevine, before the conference started, there was a doctor from the Iowa health system called me up and asked me if she could come to our conference. And of course, we were excited about that. And she seen what we were doing, and she had us work with the hospitals, and we went into the hospitals, we read the signs, how to get around, and looked at maps, how to get to the hospital, and we worked with them for about a year, and then we put on another health literacy conference, and this time, where there was doctors and nurses and great technicians were there, and we sat at a table, and they told us the things that they were hard for them to give us good health care. They didn't know, we didn't read, and we told them about how frustrated it was to come in and fill out all the forms. And then this was probably, I always said this, my wife said, you don't know for sure, but this was the first time a group of people who couldn't read, struggled with reading, and people were educated so well, sat at a table and shared ideas. Hello?
Yes, okay. And so at this point, are you still working diligently in literacy programs today?
We missed a couple years. But I got a call with a lady the other day, and they want to start and have another conference this fall. And so hopefully it works out. We can have another New Readers of Iowa conference this fall. And I don't know what the subject will be, but the theme of the conference, but I hope it works out again. It's a wonderful thing to bring people together like this.
And what about outside of the state of Iowa? Have you done work outside, or is it just mainly based in Iowa?
I have done a lot of work outside. There was an organization called the National Institute for Literacy, mm-hmm. and I applied for a fellowship with it and got it, and worked with them for a year, and when I was working with some other people with them, and when the year was up, we were giving our report, and I said that there needs to be a national organization, and they said, the people at the institute said, yeah, and then it said, you write us a grant, and we'll help you put it together, and so I didn't think I could write a grant, but help with my wife. We wrote it, and we got a grant, and we started a national organization called Value Voice of Adult Literacy United for Education. And our first meeting was at the Highlander in Tennessee, and that's where a man by the name of Miles Horton was teaching people to pass the voting test back when that was required. And basically he was teaching them to read. And there was a law that people of mixed races couldn't learning the same building, so they tore his building down. So he went out in the mountains, Smoky Mountains out there, and he built a place called the Highlander, and he taught people to do, pass the voting test, and the law didn't like to go out there because they, I guess the moonshiners made whiskey out there, so they kind of left him alone. But that's where Rosa Parks had her first meeting, and got, they talked about her having that bus incident there, and so that's where one of the first meetings of civil rights started.
Wow, that's so wonderful. Well, I got a question for you. I know originally you spoke up, and I'm sure that first time you was probably nervous, and then after a while people started asking you to come and speak at their location. What time did it stop being, okay, I'm doing this because I'm inspired to share my story, until it came, well, okay, how much are you going to pay me to be there?
How much are you going to pay me to be there?
Yeah, all those talks that you did and went to those different locations, and it was for free? Because I know you mentioned that someone in Russia wanted you to come there. So you mean to tell me you were just traveling around with your own nickel?
A lot of it was, yes. Sometimes I got
do you have an agent?
I figure, you know, I see a lot of people have hobbies. They play golf and they fish and they do other things. Literacy is my hobby, so I don't spend money on fishing or golf clubs or things like that. I spend money on trying to travel and be involved in literacy.
Well, I commend you because you said that you went straight through college and everything else. So I'm just wondering, after you got out of college and got a job and everything, and I guess things were lovely, that by the time you retired, you had enough money to just travel to help people. Am I right or wrong?
Well, no, I went to college. I didn't graduate from college. No,
okay.
But I retired, and you know, that's pretty much what gets me going is helping people out and make people aware that there are people out there like myself.
One of the things that Archie has shared with me, and I think we wrote about it in the book, was one of his favorite places to speak is at graduation, the GED graduations in prisons.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll go in and speak to the classes that are graduating. Archie, you want to share that story about the man who was supposed to get out of prison and asked to stay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, that's true. This is one prison we would go to. There after the ceremony was over, they'd always have cookies and coffee or lemonade or something, and people that weren't in the GED program would come to the graduation, and prisoners could. And if one of them could get me alone where they could talk to me, they'd say, I can't read either. Just about everybody that wanted to talk to me would want to tell me that. And like Pauline was saying, there was one prisoner who received his GED, and he could have gone home 3 days earlier before the ceremony, and he asked if he could stay in prison three more days so he could be with his group and got the diploma at the same time. So that's
wow.
That's a lot because of what that meant to him.
That's wonderful. Well, give us some insights of how to get your book and everything and where to go and where you're going to be talking at soon, you know, to share your story.
Why don't you tell about how to get the book, Colleen?
You can purchase the book on Amazon or any Barnes & Noble. And on Amazon, you have a choice of purchasing it in paper copy,
electronics, and even in audio if you prefer to listen to it. And Archie has some events coming up. We have a few more radio shows that we're doing, but he's speaking at a conference in Ames, Iowa on the 17th of July. And he's going to be in Pittsburgh the week of the 20th of July, speaking at an education conference for the teachers who work with adult readers, people who, like Archie, who need to learn to read. And he's going to be speaking at that conference. We did a workshop in Pittsburgh last year, and this was one of the groups that invited us back.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Okay, well, what state do y'all live in?
I live in Wisconsin and Arizona in the winter.
Okay, and you, Archie?
I live in Iowa and Arizona in the winter.
Okay, so y'all won't have to pay yourself to fly to Pennsylvania?
That's the conference will pay us for that. Pay us our expenses.
Okay, that's good, because I understand that it's a good thing that you're doing, but I also understand, too, as you're getting older, people are on a fixed income and you just can't just literally just keep putting money out there. That is not a good cause, just because that's just how life is, you know? You might not have
right.
it, you know, tucked away.
Right. Well, the Lions Club is a national organization, and they're big on literacy. And
mm-hmm.
we actually spoke at a Lions Club this last year in Arizona because they invited us to be there. And they have a state conference in the fall in Arizona that they are trying to fit us into because they'd like us to speak at that. So if you
have
a Lions Club and you...
They have a Lions Club here in Columbus, Georgia. Have you ever tried coming this direction?
I have spoken in Columbus, Georgia probably 10, 15 years. This was a group of doctors, but my expenses were paid to go there. I didn't, as far as a royalty, I didn't get any of that. I traveled a lot of different places. I've been in Washington and Boston and the other coast of L.A. And so I have traveled around, but, if I'm going to do that, I do expect them to pay my expenses to get there and back.
You was in Colleen that y'all go as a team, correct?
Yeah.
We have been since the book, yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're working for, yeah, right.
Well, if you need somebody to fill in for Colleen, if she got other engagements, call me up. I like to travel.
uh-huh.
Okay. Well, I see Shalani got a question, and then we're going to wrap this thing up because I think I'm going to lose electricity because of the storm that's going through where I'm at in Alabama. So, Shalani, mm-hmm. darling?
Yeah. I wanted to ask Colleen a question. You're a retired educator now?
I am, yes.
So do you are you part of the literacy with RT, or do you do your own thing, or how does that work for you now? Are you still an advocate for education, say, you go on your own speaking engagements, or you're just retired?
Well, the book has taken a lot of our time in the last couple years, so we've done more things with literacy in the last few years. And then I was writing a column for a newspaper. It was a family column, question and answer. People could write questions to me, email me, and then I would use those to create a column.
Okay.
So...
Well, praise God.
I was thinking about doing that before. But I think I'm a little too real for people sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to say thank you Archie and Colleen for being here, because this is something that we really, really need to address, the fact that there are so many people out here, and not just older people, young people who do not know how to read. And the parents, some of them, they don't do anything to go check and see if they are dyslexic opposed to just having a problem reading. So we got to do better as adults, and we got to look at these children that we are dealing with and find out if they look like they don't want to speak up when you ask a person or a child, it's your turn to read, or they shy away. Maybe they're hiding because they don't know how to address the fact, well, let someone know they don't know how to read well. So I appreciate that y'all took the time this Friday evening to be on the show. We're going to wrap up soon because I really don't like to be here with the phone and stuff and mics in my ear with the lightning going through, because I've heard that when lightning strikes sometime, it can come through your headset, and, you know, I'm not trying to have no brain damage.
Yeah.
So I just want to say thank you, and I'm going to give you this opportunity before we get up out of here, starting with Colleen. This is your opportunity to give a shout-out to someone, call them by name, and then Archie, and then my co-host, and then I'm going to take it home early. So, Colleen, this is your time.
I'm sorry, I'm at a loss. I'm not thinking of anybody.
Well, that's okay. Okay, we just let you just simmer with that for a minute. Archie, is somebody you'd like to give a shout out to?
Well, just all the people out there struggling and don't give up and keep trying, and life can get better, and God bless you.
Amen. That's wonderful, Archie. Shalonda, darling, is someone you'd like to give a shout out to?
Yes, I'd like to give a shout out to my twins, my babies. They'll be 9 on Monday.
Weekend.
So I'm excited about that, and hopefully I can get away from my IT policies long enough to spend some time with them and have some fun this weekend with them.
Right.
I just want to say happy birthday to my babies, Anaya and Stefan.
Wow.
And I guess I would shout out to people who work in education or medicine to be aware of how difficult it is for people who can't read to ask questions when they don't understand. So have tolerance and patience for all these people that you work with.
And I'd like to give a shout-out to the South Gerard Church of Christ, 520 La Fontaine in Phoenix City, Alabama. Starting Wednesday, June the 17th, is their Bible class, and we're going to have the 17th, the 18th, and the 19th. We're going to be having different age groups learning more about the Bible. And on Saturday, we're going to have a big, big free picnic with, you know, little things for the kids to do, the water slides, and, you know, they're going to have the grill pumping, and they're going to have the watermelon spitting the seeds. They're going to do the thing. So you know something? If you're in the Phoenix City area of Alabama, stop by 520 La Fontaine, right across the street from the South Gerard Middle School is a South Gerard Church of Christ. Join us, get your praise on, fellowship, and have a good time. And on that note, I want to thank y'all for showing up tonight as a guest, and I want to thank my co-host for being there. But I'm taking it home with Andre Crouch, Through It All.
Thank you.
Thank you so much,
Robin.
Good night.
I've had many tears and sorrow. I've had questions for tomorrow. There've been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. I've been a lot of places, and I've seen millions of faces, but there were times that I felt so all alone. But in my lonely hours, at those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was his own. That's the reason I say that through it all. Through it all,
in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God.
Let me tell you that through it all, oh, through it all,
I've learned to depend upon His word.
So I thank God for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys, and I thank Him for the storms He's brought me through. Oh, if I'd never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in His word could do. That's the reason I say that through it all. Let me tell you, through it all, through it all, oh, I've learned to depend upon His word. Oh, let me tell you right now, that through it all, sometimes through the fire, through it all, my Lord. Depend upon His word. Oh, through sorrow and shame, I've learned to depend upon His word.